And we're going to read verses 1 through 10. I feel kind of weird preaching to a church this big because our church is so small. I don't even use a microphone because, our church auditorium is 15 by 32. So that'll give you an idea, maybe a classroom size. I'm a little bit nervous. Luke chapter 5. Starting in verse 1, I'm going to read through 10. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this evening that we can meet together in your house. Thank you that we have freedom to worship you as we see fit right down this nation. And I pray that you continue to keep it that way. Lord, I pray now that you'd help me as I preach the word of God. I need your power. I need your strength. I need your wisdom. And I need your anointing so that I may be able to preach your word of God faithfully. I pray that you would speak to the hearts of each and every person that's here tonight. Lord, I pray that if there are people here tonight that have not received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that tonight would be the night when they would receive Christ and have eternal life and become your child. I pray for those of us who are already saved in this room tonight that we would get something from your word tonight that we needed for this day and this time. I pray that you would help us to go out of here different than when we came in. And we ask these things in Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want you to look at verse 10, the very last sentence there. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Now, in the Bible, we see this phrase, fear not, over and over, don't we? And the Bible instructs us that the fear of God, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so it tells us to fear God, but then it shows us that if we fear God, we don't have any need to fear anything, right? If we fear God, it's not a scary kind of a fear. It's a fear that we're just in awe of what God has done for us. And when we stand in his presence, We tremble at his holiness, but we also tremble at the amount of love that he has poured out on us by Jesus Christ dying on the cross to pay for our sins. Amen. And we look at that love, and we just stand in awe of that and fear God. And through that, we're delivered from the fear of everything else. The problem is, we as people can only see the seen world. We do not see the unseen world. We do not see the angels. We don't see God at this time. And so we often look at the circumstances around us and we fear. We look at the things that God gives us to do and we have fear, don't we? You and I have to admit that. I have fear. Like I said, I'm kind of fierce standing up here and speaking. But Jesus said to Peter, "Fear not, from henceforth you shall catch men." Now, if you said that to some young ladies, they'd be very happy, amen? But, you know, fear not, you're going to catch men. All right, you know, they might be all for it. And I think some of them are, which is a good thing. But I don't think it's talking about that, amen? So, we know what it's talking about. It's talking about going out and winning other people to Christ. So, Jesus told Peter, "I don't want you to fear anymore. You're going to go out now, and your main job is going to be to catch men." In Matthew 4:19, Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men," he said to Peter and Andrew and James and John, right? And it's the same kind of a thing. Now, what I want to bring out in this thing is, often, what do we fear? We fear serving God. We fear going soul winning. We fear maybe being called to preach. We fear doing some kind of a service in this church. Maybe fear Sunday school teaching or whatever. We fear the next step in our Christian life. And this whole passage of Scripture is just about overcoming that fear of the next step in our Christian life. Now, Pastor Pease was telling me when we first arrived that he was called to preach, and he finally surrendered after, I guess he was maybe trying to run from the world, I don't know, after he was trying to do what he wanted to do, and then he stopped struggling against what God wanted him to do and finally gave in to God's call on his life. And there's people like that, that happens to all of us. We have a fear of doing maybe what God wants to do next, right? Now, so the title of this message is "Fear Not, From Henceforth You Shall Catch Men." So we're going to go through various stages as we look at this passage of Scripture. And first of all, I want you to see this thing. In verses 1 through 3, look in verse 1. "It came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret." We also call it the lake of the Sea of Galilee and so forth. Here, the first point is, do not fear lending Jesus your ear. Do not fear lending Jesus your ear. Now, here were people standing on the bank, and Jesus began to talk to them. But what happened was there were so many people that Jesus needed some more, he could only, if you've ever talked to people that are standing on the same level as you, in fact, they were standing at a higher level because he's on the edge of their lake, and then you can only see so many people. So he wanted to go out and sit in a boat and preach to them. That way more of them could see him and hear him. But what you need for that situation is there needed to be people who actually stood and listened to what Jesus said. Now, there's as we come into church every time, Sundays and Wednesdays, whenever you have a church service, sometimes, you know, we're afraid to hear what God has for us. But the Bible says that we're not to fear. We're not to fear listening and lending our ear to Christ. In fact, it's a very important thing. We need to do that. In John chapter 5, verse 24, Jesus said, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Now, there may be some here tonight. I don't know. I don't know everybody's condition here. Maybe the pastor does. But I assume mostly we've got people here that have already received Christ as their Savior. But maybe there is someone here that has been afraid to yield to Christ's word when he says, Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. Maybe there's some people that are feared Christ's word when he said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And you've never come and heard the word of God and believed what Christ said, that if you would repent of your sin and come to him for forgiveness, he would forgive your sin and he would give you a new heart and change your life. Now, so you need to do not fear lending Christ your ear. Now, there's some Christians here too. Now, I think maybe Pastor Pease was in this situation, and when he was telling me about the situation where he knew he should have surrendered to preach, but he didn't. He went and did what he wanted to do first. And I think maybe in that period of time, he would go to church, and he feared hearing the word of God, maybe. In other words, he was going to hear something. God was going to be telling him, now, Brother Pease, you need to do what I said. And maybe there's some here tonight like that. Maybe God through the pastor said, you know, you need to teach a Sunday school class. Maybe God, through the pastor, said, you need to come to visitation. You need to come work on the bus route and try to get people to come to church. And maybe you feared hearing that word, but do not fear to lend Jesus your ear. Do not fear that. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27, Jesus gives the parable of the guy building a house on the sand, the wise man. The foolish man building his house on the sand, the wise man building his house on the rock. What's the difference between those two? The wise man who built his house on the rock was the one who heard his word and did what he said. So the first thing I want you to realize is do not fear lending Jesus your ear. Now, next thing I want you to see is, look in verse 2. And he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now here, Jesus made a request of Simon, which we know that Jesus named Simon, gave Simon another name. By the way, Simon means hearing, in case you didn't know that. Simon means hearing. And the other name that Jesus gave to Peter was Rock. Okay? That was the name Peter. But here, Jesus comes to Simon, and he says, Simon, let me use your boat to preach from. And now, it wasn't really that much trouble. Simon was finished using the boat, right? All they were doing was cleaning and mending the nets. So it wasn't a great deal of trouble. And so Simon said, sure, you're welcome to use my boat. Now, the second thing I want to tell you is this. Do not fear lending Jesus your things when it's convenient. Now, it was very easy for him to do that. But you know what? He could have said, hey, that's my boat. Hey, get your own boat. He could have said that. He could have said, hey, why don't you use John's boat over there? He's got a boat. Hey, we just took the boat out. But you know what? It wasn't really that much trouble, was it? Wasn't that much trouble for Simon to let Jesus use the boat? And so he did. And you know what? God comes to you and I, and he says, you know, I want you to give a tithe. Or he comes to you and he says, hey, I want you to give this amount in missions or something like that. Or hey, I want you to do this, help clean these rooms in the church. I want you to help in the VBS. I want you to help do the Sunday school class. And you know, it's something that really is not that inconvenient to do. You might have to put aside a small thing that you're doing at home. So it's not really that inconvenient. So the thing is, do not fear lending Jesus your things when it's convenient. Jesus is going to take care of them. Amen. He's going to use them for a good purpose. Now, there's a lot of people that do that. And so we've had people let us stay in their houses. They got an extra room. So sure, you're going around from church to church. Hey, stay in our house. And we've had people lend us their car. We've had people do all kinds of things. Feed us. Just say, hey, come over and eat with us. And a lot of you all do that. People come to church and you see somebody new and say, hey, why don't you come over for dinner or something? And we find that as a Christian, we don't have to fear lending Jesus our things when it's convenient. Now that's up a stage from lending Jesus our ear. Then I want us to see in verse 4 through 7, we come to another stage in this process. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. Here Jesus asks Simon to do something that's a lot of trouble, isn't it? I mean, how many have ever worked all day and all night? How many of you have ever done that? Okay, now, how do you feel at the end of that night? I mean, you can't barely, you feel like you're out of a body. It's like an out-of-body experience. You know, you feel like your body's over here, and you're making it do things, and you're over here, right? And so you're kind of in a, it's morning, but you say, it doesn't seem that bright or something. You're really wiped out, and especially fishing. You can imagine how strenuous that work was. They would throw the nets in. And I'm sure they weren't little teeny nets, you know, like a little butterfly net. They were a big net that they were throwing in, and they let it down. They'd try to suck it up sometime to get caught on the algae, and they had to pull some of that up. Then they'd throw it out. They'd get it caught on a snag, and they have to try to retrieve it and pull that up. So it was hard work. All night they were doing this. And we don't know how long that night was. It could have been a 12-hour night. You know, but anyway, they were doing that all night. And then Jesus says to Simon, hey, I want you to take your boat out and put all your nets down. Now, here's the point I want you to get from that. Do not fear lending Jesus your things when it's against your own wisdom. Peter thought to himself, look, this guy Jesus, he's a preacher. Preachers don't know how to do anything. You know, they just know how to preach. You know, they just work one day a week, you know. You know, all they have to do is tell a story in the Bible for an hour, or hopefully 30 minutes, amen? So, or less. Like a lot of times we go from church to church when we had all our kids. One time I was walking up to the pulpit and one of my sons said, Daddy, preach short, preach short. So maybe some of y'all saying that now, amen? But, you know, preach short, brother, we're preach short. You got to get there. But, you know, here's Jesus, the rabbi. Actually, was a carpenter. Maybe Simon knew he was a carpenter. He said, now, Jesus, you might know how to build a boat, you know. You might know how to build a boat, but you don't know nothing about fishing, okay? You know, I mean, now this Peter didn't say that, right? But I'm sure he was thinking that. You know, he said, look, I've been fishing this place for years. Now, you go to some of these fishermen around here, that's the same thing. They got their spots. They know the times. They can look at the surface of the water. They can look at different things, and they say, now, this is right today, that's not right. They look at the weather and all that kind of stuff. And if they go out and they don't get it, they're the experts. And that was the same with Simon, right? Now, Simon says, look, Jesus, you know, we've been working all night. You know, we haven't caught a single thing. And fill in the light. In other words, if there had been anything out there to catch, we would have caught it, right? But Simon had already had contact with Jesus before this. He had already believed on Christ. Remember when his brother Andrew first met Jesus after John the Baptist was announcing, Jesus said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And so Andrew said, "I'm going to follow that guy home." And Andrew and John were following Jesus, and they said, and they came to his house, and they were convinced that he was the Messiah. So Andrew goes and gets his brother Peter. His brother Simon, I'm sorry. As soon as Simon comes, Jesus said, "You're called Peter. I'm going to call you Peter from now on." So he'd already had contact with Jesus. He already respected Jesus. He already knew Jesus was a true preacher of the Word of God, and he believed on him as the Son of God, the Messiah. He already believed on him. But this was against his wisdom. It was against common sense. As a fisherman and expert, he knew that nothing would happen. So what did he do? He said, he trusted Jesus to a certain amount, so he said, "I will let down the net. I'll let down one net." And so he did, and the net started to break, and then he had to call John over with his boat and so forth. Now, what is the thing? Here's what we like to get a hold of things in our own mind, right? So we figure like we're under control. When God says, "Brother Pease, I want you to preach," Brother Pease might say, "Well, you know, I think it's much wiser for me to do this. I don't think I'm cut out for that. Or I don't think if I preach, I won't have this and I won't have that. I won't be able to do this and that." And so that's what happens. Now, we have the thing, God comes to you and he says, "I want you to be a Sunday school teacher," and say, "Well, I can't talk in front of people. I can't, I can't do that." Or God says, I want you to go soul winning. I want you to go tell other people about Christ." You say, "I can't, I'll let the preacher do that. I can't do anything like that." And so we've got our expert opinion. We know what we're able to do in our own strength. And Peter was thinking, "What I can do," right? Simon was thinking, "This is what I can do. I know that I cannot catch any more fish. There's none out there." But what he forgot, even though he believed Jesus was the Messiah, he forgot, hey, guess who made all the fish, right? He forgot that. So that's why we do not need to fear lending Jesus our things when it's against our own wisdom. So he went ahead and lent Jesus the boat. He launched out into the deep. He lent Jesus his net. Now, all this time where he's lending Jesus different things. He lent Jesus his ear. He listened to him. He lent him his boat. And then he lent him his boat when it was against his own wisdom. And he lent him his net. And there was a great benefit from it, right? Now, there's young people in here. God may be calling you to serve him. Okay? Now, it might be, you say, "He's calling me to do that, but there's no way I could have the wisdom or the strength to do that." But we need to not fear Jesus lending Jesus our things when it's against our own wisdom. Now, I want you to look at this next thing. Do not fear serving Christ, even though you failed him in the past. Amen. Now look at Simon Peter. We come to this passage of scripture. Look at verses 8-10. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Now Peter had realized. Peter had gone with his brother Andrew to Jesus, believed that he was the Messiah. And now Peter realizes he has failed Christ. He has failed to believe Christ. He was basically calling Jesus a liar, right? He was basically saying, "Jesus, I know better than you. I'm smarter than you. I know better how to use my net, my boat, my car, my home, and my money than you do. That's what he was thinking. Now, we all do that, don't we? I mean, I do that too. Now, that's our natural tendency, isn't it? And we fail Christ, just like Simon did. Hey, here's another point. Some people think, okay, look at here. Remember in Matthew chapter 4, first of all, John chapter 1, when Andrew brought Simon to Jesus and Simon believed on Christ. Jesus called him Peter for the first time. And then after that, Matthew chapter 4:19, he said, "Come ye after me, and I will make you fishers of men." There's a lot of people think this happened before this. And so they started following Jesus, but some people think around that time, Peter got a little discouraged, and he said, "I'm going to go back to fishing a little bit, because we got to earn, so we got to make some money." You know, this thing of just following Jesus isn't enough. So that's why Simon, Andrew, and James, and John were out all night trying to fish, because they had been following Jesus, and it wasn't enough. Right? So they were all out there trying to fish, provide their needs, and guess what? That was a failure, wasn't it?
That's right.
In other words, they went away from serving Christ. They said, they kind of took a vacation from it, you know? And so they'd quit a little bit, and so when Simon Peter knelt down, he said, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." Simon realized that he had failed Christ. He had failed miserably. Now, we read on about Peter, and we find he fails him a lot of other times too, doesn't he? Like when he denies Christ 3 times. Remember that? That comes later. Now, but Jesus told him, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." In other words, he's saying, "Peter, you failed me, but don't fear. You're still going to serve me. You still can serve me even though you failed me." There's a lady in our church called Mrs. Tanaka. She was saved by reading a tract when she was in college. Somebody gave her a Bible tract. She read it. The first time she read the tract, she prayed and received Christ. It was amazing. And after that, she went to church.
Amen.
That was back, quite a ways back. She's about the same age as I am. So she's about 59. She's 60 years old, actually. But so back maybe 40 years or something, she received Christ. She got married to a Christian man. They had 2 boys. Later on, they had some family trouble. Her husband committed adultery. They got in a divorce. And then she married an unsaved man. That's not biblical, is it? Now, she failed Christ. But she said, "I failed him, but I want to serve him again." She came back to church. She comes faithfully. She has been... Okay, let me tell you what happened. Since the time she was 20, she's been praying for her mother to be saved. Last year, her mother, who was 87 then, got saved.
Amen.
It was through our church. Because her mother lived... actually in the same neighborhood we first lived in. And we didn't even know it back then. But we visited her mother for about, how many years would it be? At least 6 years. When I'd first go there, I'd just knock on the door. Not knock on the door. I'd push the intercom, okay? I just push the intercom. "Hello, this is Brother Ward. You know, how are you doing?" "Okay, all right." She wouldn't invite me in, you know. "All right, just wanted to see how you were." And every now and then we'd take her some vegetables or something. You know, we had a garden and we live in kind of you saw where the church was. There's some like farmhouses around us. And so we're always getting vegetables from them, so we have too many. So like when we go to visitation, a lot of times I take bags of vegetables and give them to people. But anyway, so we'd take her some onions or take her some big white radishes. You know the Japanese radishes? How many know what those are? They're called daikon, which just means big root. Okay, that's what it means. But take them those things. So, I mean, for years I would just do that, just on Saturday. And she was against Christ, you know. She would ride in the back seat with her daughter would take her places, ride in the back seat with her friend in the neighborhood, and they would badmouth Christ. And her friend was her friend was a Buddhist who was just really anti-Christ. So they would just badmouth, you know, right there with her, where her daughter could hear and everything. So she was really against it. And we just kept going there. And our fourth son is getting married this month. That's why we're here in the States. But he, one year in the end of the summer, she needed somebody to trim her yard. The normal person she had, she couldn't get anymore. So she had him come over there. And for some reason, she just fell in love with him. I mean, I don't mean, you know, in a bad way. I mean, in the way a grandma falls in love with a young man. You know, they think he's the greatest, you know. So he was just, I guess, polite or something like that. I don't know. And she just fell in love with him. And after that, she started to invite us into the house. And then we start to talk about Christ. And they say, well, I think it's time for you to go, something like that. You know, it'd be kind of funny. But, you know, gradually, she got a little bit more and more warmed up to it. And her daughter would be witnessing to her all the time. And anyway, eventually, like I said, last year, she got saved. She came to church for the first time last year, and she got saved in March. And then in April, excuse me. This year, finally, we brought her through some newcomer Bible studies and tried to make sure she understood everything. And in February, did we burn her thing in February or January? February, we burned her butsudan, her Buddhist altar, and her kamidana, her Shinto altar. We busted them up and burned them up, and she got baptized in March 24th.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. And let me tell you what, you know, why? Because that daughter said, I failed Christ, but I'm going to serve him.
Amen.
I failed Christ, but I'm still going to serve him. You know what? You say, well, I would never get a divorce. Thank God. I hope you never do. And I would never get married to an unsaved person. I hope, thank God, I hope you never do. But you know, we do other bad things, don't we? You know, we do other bad things, and sometimes we feel so guilty. We say, I can't go soul winning. I can't tell people about Christ. I can't serve Christ. But you know what? You can. You can ask forgiveness, and Christ will forgive you. He paid for all your sins on the cross. By the way, he paid for the sin when Peter denied Christ, denied him three times. Jesus paid for that sin on the cross. And he paid for this sin when Peter would not trust him. And Simon Peter failed Christ, but yet Christ said, fear not, from henceforth you shall catch men. You know, we don't need to fear. Now let me tell you some other things about her. She is the most aggressive or active soul winner in our church.
Praise the Lord.
Now figure that. Mm-hmm. Now what I'm saying is, it's partly her personality, but she knows that she wants to serve Christ. She knows people need to believe on Christ to be saved. Amen. So she wants to go after him. Amen. Let's look at another point here. Peter, why did Simon and the others go back to fishing? Well, this serving Christ is not providing my needs. Maybe, right? So there's a lot of people, maybe, I don't know, I haven't talked in length to Pastor Pease, but maybe one reason he did, he maybe knew God was calling him, but he didn't want to do it. He wanted to do his own thing. But he said, if I do that, I won't be happy. If I do that, if I follow you and become a preacher, I won't be happy. I won't have my needs met. I won't be able to provide for my family and so forth. Maybe he thought, You know, that if he serves Christ, he won't have his needs met. Well, Christ just here proved to Peter that if he serves Christ, he'll have his needs met. If he tries to do it himself, he's not going to have his needs met. See that? Do not fear serving Christ, even though you do not see how you will get your needs met. Amen. Do not fear serving Christ, even though you do not see how you get your needs met. Now, I don't want to get too long about this, but I mentioned on the DVD that flashes by so fast you probably can't even hear it. I'm sorry, they try to get you to make these short ones now, Pastor. That's what happens. They don't want them to be any longer than 8 minutes or something like that. But anyway, that's why it goes so fast. Our first meeting place. The first meeting place we had for our church, we got for free. Now, let me tell you a story about that. I had not even been in Japan for 2 years. So you've been studying Japanese for a year and a half. I'm sorry. I'll try to get done quick, okay? I'm sorry. We only been there less than 2 years, and I was looking for a place to start our church, a building. You go to a place and they say, oh, we can't rent that to a church. You know, you tell them you want to rent it, and they say, oh, yeah, and they say, it's a church. Oh, no, you can't do that. Or they say, you go, and a lot of times we'd go to a place and see a vacant house and ask about it. Oh, no, we won't let you use that. Or you go to another place and the rent would be so high, there's no way you could pay it. So I was looking around for months for a place. I went to a, in Japan, they have these, what they call cram, we call them cram schools. They call them juku. But anyway, a cram school is a school that the kid goes to after school to learn what he was supposed to learn in school. Okay, that's what it is. But they have these all over Japan. Well, across from the train station in the middle of our area, catty corner across from that was a convenience store, a Lawson's convenience store. It was in a three-story building, or four-story building, and on the second floor was one of these jukus, a cram school. And so I went over there. I said, that'd be a great location if I could get them to let me use that for church. So I went over there and I talked to the guy, the head teacher in there, and he said, well, We use this on Wednesday night, but you could use it on Sundays, I think. And he said, I have to ask the owner. So he went and asked the owner, and the owner said, I don't mind if you use it, but we're actually leasing that second floor. We're leasing the second floor, so we have to ask the owner of the building if we can do that. So they asked the owner of the building if they could do that, and he said, no, it's not in your contract. You can't sublet that place. So we kept praying for a place to, you know, get that settled down. Amen. Okay. A little bit of excitement for us here. So he said, you can't use that because it's not in the contract. So I thought to myself, well, I guess it's not God's will. I started to go out. He said, but wait a minute, we have a vacant house over in your housing development where you live. And I said, you do? He said, yes, we used to use that for our juku, but we're not using it now. We moved over here. So you're welcome to use it as long as we need you to clean it up. It's kind of messed up because we haven't used it for so long. And there's some junk out in the yard. You have to clean it all up. I said, okay, well, how much would the rent be? And I was hoping for a rent that would be around $700 or $800 a month. It would be great. He said, oh, you don't have to pay any rent. You can just come and teach English for me a few times. Well, it was true. I only had to go there about three or four times to teach English. But anyway, we got to use that building absolutely free. I mean, the first meeting. Now, here I am in Japan. I can't really speak Japanese very well. And guess what God did?
Amen.
Yeah, it didn't cost any money. Now, I could have gone around moping and saying, well, man, we don't have enough money to rent things. We don't have enough money to rent a good place. But God doesn't need money because God's the one that can provide things for us.
Right.
So we do not need to Do not fear serving Christ, even though you don't see how your needs are going to be met. Christ can meet your needs. Christ is the one that made the fish. Christ is the one that made the wood that made the boat. Christ is the one that made the hemp that made the net, or whatever they made it out of. I don't know, cotton or whatever. Christ is the one that made all that. Now, Christ is the one that can provide for every needs. Now, the other thing is this. Look at what Peter said. Verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Peter was saying what? He's saying, "Christ, just get away from me. There's no way I can serve you. I'm just too wicked. I'm not qualified. I'm not worthy to serve you. And I'm not qualified." But what did Jesus say after that? He said, "Fear not. From henceforth, you will catch men." He's saying, do not fear serving me when you feel unqualified. If God calls you, maybe that was Pastor Pease's problem. I haven't had a chance to talk to him. Maybe he felt, God's calling me to preach, but I'm not qualified for that. I'm not worthy to do that. Now, if Christ is asking you to do something, if Christ wants you to teach a Sunday school class, and he tells you through the preacher, or he wants you to do some other thing in the church, and you say, "Well, I'm not worthy, I'm not qualified for that. There's no way I could do that." God calls you to preach, young person, say, "I can't even talk in front of my class at school. How am I going to preach anymore?" Don't think about that. Do not fear serving Christ when you feel unqualified. Because I got a secret for you. You're not qualified. And you're not worthy. You're not qualified and you're not worthy to serve Christ. But if he says, "I want you to serve me," that qualifies you. And that makes you worthy. Christ doesn't want us to serve him because we'll be a benefit to him. Christ doesn't need you and I to serve him. Okay, there's all kinds of things going on here. Preach on what's going on here, man. Okay, whatever. But, here's some competition here. But anyway, Christ doesn't need us, does he? Christ doesn't need us. Before we went to the mission field, my oldest son, I think it was about 4, he was with me and we were cleaning out the carport. We were just, there was a shelf against the brick wall. It was an open carport, brick wall. There was a shelf up against it. And I was taking all the had taken all the things off because I was trying to straighten it out and stuff. And so he was up there with me and I was putting things back on the shelf. And he said, "Daddy, I want to help." Well, he was so little, he couldn't even reach the shelf. So I said, "Pick up that can there, a little paint can or something." And I picked him up. He put it on the shelf. And then I put him down. He said, "Daddy, I helped." Now that's exactly how you can help Christ. Christ, we can't help Christ. He allows us to work with him. Amen?
Amen.
Now, do not fear serving Christ when you feel unqualified. Because you aren't, and you're not worthy. But Christ can give you the strength, he can give you the power, and he can make you worthy because he cleanses us by his blood. Fear not, from henceforth you shall catch men. Let's bow our heads.